Dvar Halacha on this week's parsha that will come out from a little bit of a sort of a indirect way, but this is how it comes up in at least one shuva. So we'll get to the parsha, but I'll start with the issue first. So a little bit on the halacha / hashkafic idea of judging people favorably, and we'll get to why this is relatable to the parsha. So the Gemara in Shavuos derives from a pasuk that deals primarily with Beis Din, that people should judge with honesty and with integrity. The Gemara in Shavuos Daf Lamed derives, in addition to it referring to Beis Din, in addition to it referring to the court case, everyone has an obligation to judge others favorably, and that's recorded as well in Avos Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav. There's a dispute amongst the Rishonim whether that obligation is d'oraisa, whether it's biblical in origin, whether it's rabbinic, right? Is that a real drasha, or is it simply an asmachta? It's simply it's attached just for mnemonic purposes or for rhetorical flourish to the pasuk in the Torah, but in fact it's only rabbinic, or it's maybe just a midah tova, it's just a good character trait, but it's not halachic and legal in the classic sense of the word. But in addition to the question of its force, is it biblical, rabbinic, or not even, another question is asked is whether it is... what is the reason for this principle? And two main explanations are given. The one that most people know and the one that comes to mind sort of right away is that the reason we judge others favorably is to create peace so that we won't fight. And if we always give people the benefit of the doubt, then we won't end up fighting with them. We won't accuse them of crimes they haven't done. And maybe if they did do something wrong, we'll let it slide. We'll see the full picture. And that's sort of the explanation that's given by most of the Mefarshim. However, the Meiri on his Chibur HaTshuva, and this is also quoted in the last Tshuva of the Maharal Diskin, if you turn all the way to the back, the last page, the last Tshuva of the Maharal Diskin, he suggests a different reason for the obligation to judge others favorably. And he notes that people are affected by their society. If they live amongst people that are bad, that are corrupt, then they tend to follow in their ways. If they live amongst people that are positive, they don't want to be seen as being the local criminal, so they will try to live up to the standards of the people around them. Therefore, he argues, or they both argue, if you judge people favorably, then you're more likely to act righteously, because if you think that everyone around you is acting properly, then you will also try to act properly. If you think everyone around you is a degenerate, then what impetus is there for you to act positively? All you have to do is be half decent and you're already ahead of the game if you view everyone else as evil. So he argues that the base of this halacha is not simply to keep peace, but it's actually a motivation, a way of keeping society on their toes, of keeping society righteous. Now, what would be the nafkamina? What would be the halachic implication to this question of what the reason for it is? So, Rav Daniel Feldman notes in his I think this one is in The Right and the Good, but it couldn't be in Divine Footsteps, which is two books that he wrote on Mitzvot Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. So he notes that one application, one ramification of this dispute might be, are you obligated to give the benefit of the doubt to someone who is known to be evil? Because if you think of it from the perspective of preventing fights, so then even if someone is a Rasha, you could, whether you're obligated to or not as a machlokas rishonim, but you might be at least allowed to judge him favorably. Because it will still minimize machlokes, right? If someone is doing something wrong, it's almost definitely wrong. So if you still give him the benefit of the doubt, right, it will still minimize the number of times that you fight with him. But if you think that the reason we judge people favorably is to ensure that society sets its ethical norms out clearly, so then by the same token that we normally say that someone is obligated to judge the good favorably, one would be forbidden from judging evil people favorably. Because once you start rationalizing and justifying behavior that looks and seems and is clear to everybody that it's negative, then you'll end up persuading people that it's not that bad. And he notes that this position is taken by the Satmar Rebbe, quoted in a tshuva by Rav Moshe Sternbach in tshuva in Moedim Uzmanim Chelek Zayin Tshuva Kuf Tzadi Bet, where he comes to our parsha and he says, why was it that Avram Avinu has this whole private conversation with God concerning Sodom? Between God and Avram, he can say, well, maybe they're tzaddikim, but he doesn't go and publicly defend Sodom. He only does it in his private conversation with God. Now, it could just be that's when it happened. But this is the starting point for the Satmar Rebbe's question. And he argues that, well, between God and Avram, Avram can judge Sodom as favorably as he wants, because God isn't going to be swayed by Sodom's negative behavior. But if he were to go and defend Sodom publicly, then it wouldn't seem like he was just having compassion on Sodom. It would seem like he's condoning their actions. And therefore, from this sort of exegesis of the Avram story, the Satmar Rebbe and in turn Rav Moshe Sternbach derives that it is in fact forbidden to at least publicly judge evil favorably. In your heart of hearts, you can do whatever you want. You can decide that maybe they did something right, but publicly you have to, instead of judging it favorably, instead of defending it, you actually have to decry it, because otherwise you'll be caught in a different problem of seeming to condone evil behavior. So Rabbi Daniel Feldman notes that whether this makes sense, this notion that it would be forbidden to publicly judge evil people favorably because it might have negative consequences, seems to be a ramification of this dispute. Again, if you think that judging people favorably is just a function of keeping peace, then you might be able to be allowed to judge even the evil favorably. But if you think judging people favorably is a means by which we convey the ethics and morals of our society to everyone in society, then once something is clearly evil, our obligation flips, and we can no longer judge it favorably, because the same obligation that drives us to judge people favorably normally, in this case, would actually obligate us to decry the evil behavior, to make it clear where our values lie.